You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
A new book has been released which investigates the connections between war stories and fairy tales. Through an examination of global literature, wars, myths, and fairy tales observes how our perception of combat has changed over the eras. I spoke with co-author and contributor Dr. Sarah Butsworth about the release of the book and what stories it examines.
The current collection deals with the fact that we tell stories in a particular way to deal with big issues, both past and present. And many of those stories take the form of fairy tales or borrow from fairy tale structures to convey particular meanings at different times. And we've always worked at pushing the boundaries of the ways that we think about war, so this seemed like a logical next step from our previous work.
Would you be able to run us through what your previous works were?
Sure. So Marcia and I have now edited three collections. The first one was called Restaging War in the Western World, and we looked at non-combatant experiences of war. And all three collections actually as well have come out of our teaching experiences, where we are trying to find materials that force people to focus critically on the way we talk about things and the way we talk about war in particular. So Restaging War was an attempt to look at people who are not combatant, to expand those sort of boundaries. The next collection, Monsters in the Mirror, was about popular cultural representations of Nazism post-war, because the Nazi has really become like a catch-all for everything monstrous. And we deal with students every day who are surrounded by these representations but who don't understand the history behind them. So the second collection was about that. And this third one has come, it sort of came from those conversations and previous ones, and like fairy tales, it has its breadcrumbs scattered to the wind. We're both really interested in stories and narrative, and that's really important to the ways that we deal with war in the present as well as the past, and that kind of where it came from.
Would you be able to give me an example of one of the stories which you focus on in this newest book?
Sure. So my chapter is actually on Suzanne Collins' The Hunger Games as a 21st century incarnation of Hansel and Gretel. And in that, I'm arguing that Hansel and Gretel has actually always been a war story, because what it deals with are families in crisis, families who are forced to abandon children due to starvation. It deals with children being consumed, quite literally and metaphorically. And you can see all of those elements from Hansel and Gretel in The Hunger Games, where you've got the focus on food and starvation, but you've also got these tributes being consumed by the military-industrial complex through their role on this television show, this reality TV show, that attempts to justify a political system that dominates people through food and lack of it.
So essentially this book focuses more on modern-day stories rather than, like you're referring to, Hansel and Gretel. Am I correct in that?
Yep. So I talk a bit about Hansel and Gretel in terms of the way that the Grimms reinvented it in the 19th century, but I'm really talking about its uses in the 21st. So I have tracked it from the 19th century through to the present in different texts, but what I really want to focus on is that I think in the 21st century, Hansel and Gretel is a war story.
Okay. What were some of the more surprising findings that you found while researching and writing for this book?
Okay, so it's an edited collection, so we have chapters from different scholars. And what we've ended up with is quite varied approaches, which wasn't a surprise. It was actually really gratifying, because that's what we were after. We've structured it in such a way that we start with Giacomo Lichner's chapter on the use of the fairy tale in Holocaust film. So he talks about life is beautiful, and the ways in which, while we try and use the fairy tale to represent the unrepresentable, it goes a certain way, but it can never go far enough. But we end with a chapter written by Simon Haywood, who talks about his wife, Shona Lee Cumbers, as a current Jewish storyteller, and that the ways in which these stories have evolved was a way of helping the culture survive the Holocaust. So we start with the inadequacies of cinema, and we end up with the fairy tale actually helping the survival of culture through these stories. So it's a really interesting bracketing that we weren't expecting to end up with.
So does this collection of essays sort of start at an earlier time point and then progress further towards today, like chronologically, or is it more so structured in a different kind of narrative around it?
It's much more thematic. We don't really, so we have, while we have references to older stories, we are very much focused to a certain extent, and this was accidental. We didn't necessarily intend it to work this way, but the collection itself seems to be much more focused on the 20th and 21st century incarnations of these stories.
Would you be able to just run us through who the contributing authors were?
Sure. So obviously, Marcia and myself, we co-wrote the introduction, and I have a chapter. And then we have Giacomo Lishner, who is down at Vic, and he is a renowned Holocaust scholar. We then move to Janelle Guitara, who's from Puerto Rico, who's worked on the folktale again as a means of making sure that culture under colonialism survives. Charlotte Beyer is in the UK, and she's written a wonderful chapter on the uses of the fairy tale and the exploration of the Second World War in A.S. Byatt's novel Ragnarok. We have Joanne Conrad, who is a folklorist from the States, who has looked at two lesser-known picture books that came out actually during the Second World War, but they were written by people who were essentially in exile in the States during that conflict. Paul Blom has looked at Mark Twain's A Connecticut Yankee in Camelot as a critique of industrialized warfare. And David Rosen and Peter Burkholder look at the ways in which we romanticize the child soldier through using medieval or fairy tale tropes, in particular texts that focus on Western warfare and Western ideas about war, but that those tropes don't necessarily apply when we're looking at actual child soldiers in contemporary war zones in places like Sierra Leone. So that was really, really fascinating. And we've worked with David Rosen before. He contributed to our first collection as well, so that was really lovely to work with him again. And then, as I said, we finish off with Simon Hayward and Shona Lee Cumbers and their exploration of the living tradition of the ruby tree and the way in which it's embodied in the storyteller herself, who in this case is Shona Lee.
Wow, so a very, very diverse collection of essays in there.
Very diverse, yes.
Yeah, whereabouts are people able to pick up this book?
Okay, so you can order it through the Palgrave Springer website. You can pick it up on Amazon. And it's available electronically for those of us who are part of the university community. It's actually at the library, the electronic copy.
It's fucked.
Yeah, it is.
The Wire.
That was Sarah Buttsworth, who is the co-author and contributor to the book War, Myths and Fairy Tales, who spoke with my producer Adam this morning.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.